This recording is brought to you by Whitworth University. To hear additional programs, please visit www.whitworth.edu/podcast.
We just have a whole lot of people with enormous effort and energy in the leadership. Let me just mention to you the folks that deserve our great thanks. Cindy Mollerick has headed up the Early Childhood Program. Cindy. And Marie Young and Sarah Beth Templin have helped Gail Feely with the Children's Program, and Gail is the one who's coordinated all this. So I want to say a special thanks to you, Gail, for all that you've done. Andy has reminded us every morning in our Bible hour that one of the primary images for how we are to understand ourselves is as God's family. And we know that you who are involved in ministry, it's not just a call upon one person's life, but it involves the entire family. We're particularly mindful of the fact that in so many ways, the children feel, in all kinds of different mannerisms, the kind of pressure and attention that you are in as you lead ministry. So we take very seriously our responsibility here at the university to pay attention to your kids during this week. We trust it's been a blessing as a part of that process. So we are thrilled to have you as families here this week. And please say a special thanks to those leaders once again when you say goodbye to them tomorrow. Gail, thank you.
So Whitworth is the blessed for sure. Tonight, as I was preparing and thinking about this moment, after last night, and our bodies, or not even our bodies, Christ's body, doing the talking, there's not much more that can be said, to be honest. That was the Word in flesh. But my hope and prayer for us tonight is that there would be a fresh word, that we wouldn't just rely on Monday's word or Tuesday's word or Wednesday's word, but that we would ask God for a Thursday evening word. This is my hope and prayer. So let's pray. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who hast brought us thus far along the way, O God who is indescribable, uncontainable. You put the stars into place. And we praise you tonight as we gather as a community of faith around your word for this final word. We ask that you might come, O God, in your power, that something transformative might happen, that this just wouldn't be another gathering that we do at a whim. We ask that you would open up our ears and our hearts to receive from you once again. Speak now, O God, because your servants are listening. Amen. The last installment of this series comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 25-33. It's in your program. Listen for God's word tonight. There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A final word. A final word. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back. Times headlines? Humpty Dumpty destroyed. Or well-known and respected Whitworth student, son of a Presbyterian minister, Humpty Dumpty dead. Or Humpty Dumpty dies during Princeton's Howard sermon. Servants can't kill people, you know. Can you imagine what the tabloids would do with this story? Who killed Humpty Dumpty? King's horses and king's men nowhere to be found. Psychics claim to have coffee with Humpty Dumpty at Starbucks. Is Humpty Dumpty still alive? Humpty Dumpty spotted at Graceland. Oprah Winfrey plans her final talk show, The Life of Humpty Dumpty. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put the world back together again. The world, preacher? Yep. The world. We're just as broken as Humpty Dumpty. Can I get a witness? As we enjoy this beautifully landscaped campus, we must be reminded that the majority of the world does not live like this. This is not to put a guilt trip on anyone. I lived in pristine and plush and privileged Princeton. But it is to be truthful about our human situation and realize that we can't put the world or Humpty Dumpty back together again. We have to name the trouble before we name the grace. We have to name the judgment before we name the promise. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance, then forgiveness. Crucifixion, then resurrection. Lament, then celebration. Exercise, then loss of weight. And that's why I love Luke. Not only because he has the best name in the Bible, as I said, but because he tells it like it is. Surrounding our passage tonight, you have your whole Bible, is the literary context of death, destruction, and distress. You have people looking for ways to kill Jesus and his death being foretold. You have the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem being foretold. You have the disciples being warned that they will be persecuted, that even their mommy and daddy will be out to get them. This is not an old happy day. No, it is a sad day, in fact. In fact, the center or the core of life as they knew it, the temple and the city of Jerusalem, were being destroyed. And then on top of that, we hear what I read earlier. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is pretty spooky stuff. On the verge of a twilight zone kind of experience. Nations on the earth experiencing distress, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. Those are signs of chaos. And then there are these signs in the moon and the sun and the stars. Something is happening in the cosmos. Whatever it is, it's not just anthropological, it's cosmological. It's the whole universe. The heavens are shaking. And if that isn't enough, people are fainting from fear. Especially fear of the future. This is an existential tsunami. It's not just humpty dumpty who's falling. But people are falling out. Not because they're slain in the spirit, but because of the fear they have when they hear the Jerusalem news flashes about what is coming upon the world. Those days sound like our days in some way. I'm not here to make any predictions. I'm not part of the Left Behind series or anything like that. On July 15, 2010, at about 7:59 and 31 seconds. No, I'm just here to tell the truth. The world of chaos Luke describes is a mirror of our world because we too are in chaos. I hear the sound of the sea and the wave roaring like a lion seeking whom it may devour. And I'm not talking about the latest news about Bristol Palin and Levy Johnston, about them getting married and wearing camo vests at their wedding. I'm not talking about LeBron James completing the Trinity by signing with the Miami Heat and to join D. Wade and Chris Bosh. No, I'm not talking about Mel Gibson's mess ups or even the growing edge in congregational ministry that I read today on CNN about virtual preaching. I'm talking about such roaring, such existential thunderclap. Such shaking that nations and people are confused and fearful about what they're hearing happening in the world. What they're hearing is coming upon the world. Do I need to name some of our chaos? Rumors of wars and ongoing wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other parts of the globe. The never-ending conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians. North versus South Korea. Funds that were promised to help the Haitian recovery not being delivered, which just continues the cycle of poverty and corruption and colonialism. The BP oil spill and ecological threats. Economic woes and uncertainty. Unemployment rate rising. Tenured professors aren't even safe anymore. That's to say nothing about you, Adam. Seminaries on the verge of closure. Entrenched political conflicts. NAACP against the Tea Party. A rise in hate group activity since the inauguration of President Obama. Child abuse scandals in the Christian church. Denominations on the verge of division. Congregations on the verge of death. Pastors committing suicide. Pastors tired of their congregations, or congregations tired of their pastors. The seas and the waves are roaring. The world is shaking. Need I say any more? Need I any more? There is much death, destruction, and distress in the world. And people are confused by all the chaos around, consumed by fear, concerned about the future. And if we were to exegete our human situation, we would discover that in fact, right around your chairs tonight, right in this chapel, were among a heap of earthquake rubble. In the midst of brokenness and ruin, we're just as bad off as Humpty Dumpty. Many are depressed and down and fainting. Many think they can't be put back together again, pastors. Many think their lives are eternally ruined. You see, I had to name the trouble first, the contemporary crucifixions, the crises. I had to make it plain, preacher, first about our human reality. But this isn't the whole story. Somebody needs to say amen today. Good Friday isn't good enough, in fact. Chaos should not crush our souls. Because right at the point when you might be ready to dig your own grave, right at the intersection between death and life, remember betwixt and between, remember Mary, right at that moment when you're about to give in to despair, right when it seems as if all hope is lost, just right on time, he's an on time God. Yes, he is. And he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come in the morning, but he's always on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. God, an on-time God, at that moment when you've just fallen or fainted from fear and you think you can't get up and your face is about to turn down to the dust and ashes of the earth, this passage does what? It calls us to look up. Nobody knows the trouble I see. We know that it's spiritual, but you know how it ends? Glory, hallelujah! While residing in the troubled ruins in the world, I hear a glory hallelujah. Because then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place after fainting in fear, we are called to stand up and raise our heads because redemption is on the way.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if I were to do a body talk sermon through this passage, this would be it. Christ does not wait for the chaos to take a sabbatical. Christ comes right in the chaos to redeem not only me, but the entire cosmos.
Yes, yes, yes.
The other night, my 4-year-old son, Zachary, said something to me that put everything into perspective as I was preparing for this meeting. Not quite like Mariah, who I talked about the other night, who said I sang like the Cookie Monster. No. But Zachary, little Z, as I call him, had some serious spiritual insight. I was putting him to bed. I was laying next to him, about to pray. And out of the blue, this 4-year-old said, Daddy, yes, Zachary, Daddy, are we going to see God one day? I just wanted to say a sweet seminary prayer and go watch TV. I responded, one day, Zachary. And then Zachary responded to me, Friday?
You mean you, me, Mommy, and Mariah are going to see God one day? I said, yes, sweetie, one day. And you know what Bill Zachary said? He said, cool. Cool. Everybody say cool.
Cool.
That Christ comes in the midst of the chaos to redeem is cool. Cool isn't what you're wearing. Cool isn't hanging out with the big wig pastors and ministries. Cool isn't hip musical styles in our worship. Cool is that one day we will see Jesus Christ. Cool is that He chooses to come to us on His own initiative. Cool is that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Cool is that the chaos does not kill us. That's cool. Zachary tells me preached. It's cool. We serve a Christ who reigns amid the ruins. As New Testament scholar Fred Craddock reminds us, the final changes in heaven and earth are not therefore to usher in a time of terror for the faithful. Rather, they are to realize that these are signs of the time of their redemption. That means no fear. Christ is near. Right in the heart of the context of death, destruction, distress, Christ comes with power and glory, which is a sign of His dominion, in fact, a sign of His reign, a sign that He rules over the chaos. He controls the chaos. Christ reigns amid the ruins. This is the final word. Life is chaotic for many people, including some of you pastors. But there is Christ, the Son of Man. Do you see Him coming to you in your chaos, congregational, personal, familial, economical, psychological, emotional, physical, right when you need Him most, when everything is going out of control? Redemption is near. Summer is near. The kingdom of God is near. Luke stresses the nearness of Christ, and I know we're in the middle of summer, but spiritually, summer is near. Leaves beginning to sprout new life in your chaos. A connection between Christ and summer. This could be why when my wife Gail asked Zachary, he asked her, "Where do you think God lives?" Zachary responded, "In Florida." Christ and summer. There might be a connection. There is a connection. Christ is near. Summer is near. Yes. The kingdom of God is near.
Yes.
Christ comes in the midst of the chaos of your life, redeeming it all, reigning amid the ruins. That means the impossible is possible in your life, in your ministry. That means He will come. That means He has come. That means you may be dwelling in a hell right now. But hope is right there. Hope in the midst of hell. He descended into hell. We know what Romans tells us, that hope doesn't disappoint us. So stand up and raise your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. I don't know your situation, your circumstance, but you might be in your own
kind of chaotic Hurricane Katrina, the storm of a lifetime. And you decided to stay at home for some reason and go at it on your own. The winds are getting heavy, and your house is about to fall apart. The rushing waters are rising, and so you, the only place you have to go is to the roof for safety. Nowhere to run now. Nowhere to hide. You can't tell your mother. You can't call your father. You can't call your grandma or your grandpa. You can't call mama or papa or meema or your friend. Your pastor. Oh, no. You can only look up now for help, because all that is below you are the stormy waters that are ready to swallow you. And so there you are. You'll grab anything. You happen to have a handkerchief with you. You're on the roof, and all you can say is, "Help! Help!" Despair and desperation are setting in. Help! You're getting ready to faint from fear. But as you look out in the distance, help! You see a sign of hope. There seems to be a helicopter coming your way. And as that helicopter comes closer, you start really going crazy. Help! Help! As that helicopter comes closer, you begin to see that on the side of that helicopter, it says, "Jesus saves." And as the copter gets closer, you realize that God is the pilot. Help! All of a sudden, your help becomes, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" God swoops down to save you from your stormy chaos just in the nick of time. I told you he's an on-time God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Your helps have been transformed into hallelujahs because Jesus saves. Look up to God and not down on your circumstances of ruin. The circumstances of life do not reign, but Christ reigns among our ruins, and he will not allow you to be ruined. Life in the midst of death. Hallelujah. Joy in the midst of sorrow. Hallelujah. Being able to sing while waiting on a word. Hallelujah. Being giving words in a wilderness. Hallelujah. Being welcomed by Jesus, even if you are a sinner woman or a sinning pastor. Hallelujah. Resurrections or crucifixions. Hallelujah. No need to pout. Just join the victory shout. Hallelujah. Because we are redeemed. We will be redeemed. But not just us. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the nations, the sea, the waves, the people, the heavens, all cry, "Redeemed when Jesus comes." Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for we all will be redeemed. This is really cool. Promises, promises, promises. My words will not pass away. Promises, promises, promises. Remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Promises.
Promises! Promises! We will be redeemed. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And this King of Kings can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And then the news headlines will say, Humpty Dumpty redeemed. And you know what? The only quote that they will have in that article in the Beams of Heaven magazine, the only thing that Humpty Dumpty will have to say in response to his redemption is cool. Amen.